Juan, be aware, you're not a moderator called in.
Well, so Willow,
go ahead.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to share with us your name and location? I think there were three people. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to share your name and location?
That's the ding from nowhere.
Okay, this is a good evening. This is Willow. We have quite a few people on the call. Would you like to share with us your name and location? All anonymous. We have five anonymous people.
That's okay.
Well, I hope you enjoy the call tonight. It's real high energy. We should have a really fine time tonight. And welcome.
Willow, you're doing a really good job.
Well, thank you, Wynn.
Very good job. Hello, Wynn.
If Marilyn thinks you're doing a good job, that's serious.
No.
The next time you go...
Marilyn unmuted herself.
Yes, she did. She's the unmuted. So does that mean next time you come through town, you're going to buy me dinner? No window.
No answer.
Of course not.
Dead silence is the worst punishment of all. I don't get to buy the pendants. I have to buy penance. Good evening. Welcome to the call. There's quite a few people on the energy side. Would you like to share your name and location?
This is Michael from Amarillo, Texas.
Okay, we have two people spoke at once. Let's have ladies go first.
Hi, this is Terry.
Oh, Terry, bless your heart. Welcome. And you, sir, who was the gentleman who just joined us?
Michael from Amarillo, Texas.
Hi, Michael. And we have one other person just joined the line. Would you like to share with us your name and location? And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, it's quite all right. Just join in anytime you feel comfortable. Okay. Hi, so you can take it over. I'm losing my voice.
Willow's muting herself.
Very much, Willow. And, we can also welcome all those on the BBS radio. Thank you for participating in the call. And we have more people joining in over the phone line. And welcome the next person. Please say your name and location.
Evening, hi. This is Gary from Long Beach.
Hi, Gary. Good evening. Welcome to the call. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for being here, Gary.
Thank you for having me.
So we are live in BBS. It is 6 o'clock, I think. I know Terry has joined in. Good evening. Thank you for being here. Let's still, in the meantime, welcome the next person. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Don from Brexel. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Good evening, Don. Thank you for being here.
Is anyone going to go retrieve the people in Sub 1?
She knows how to unmute herself.
Marilyn, you go get him.
I called back, you silly.
So do you know that he now has the nickname the Mutinator?
Yes.
Okay, when the dings are off, it's 6 o'clock. I know you're not ready, but let's start anyway.
All right. Okay. Just a second. Now, Terry, are you on the line? We have some good questions tonight. Okay. I'm Melina from Venice. I'm going to be reading emails as we go this evening. And I'm just getting the last...
Muted.
This is the queue. Then we're going to start recording. Is Terry there? I heard her before. Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Hello, Terry.
Terry is in on the Yuma. So that is a mute button on a different location, probably.
Mm-hmm. Different phone. We've been going through a lot of phones for Terry. You know what? I'll tell you a cute story just before we start. And Heise is going to say, wait, should you record this? All right, maybe I will. But, Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry, we don't hear you. Now, somebody said I should take lessons from Art Bell and George Norrie. And you know what? This is not an interview show. And it's got less restrictions. I don't have to... Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you using the new phone?
I am.
Okay. Hives, what do you think of Terry's voice? You think it's pretty good?
It sounds like a new sound.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds good to me, except every now and then it's like that Skype sound.
Well, we're on the internet, okay?
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you. I went... I'll start the tape recorder. This is a good little story. Just a second here. Just a moment.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is May 29th, 2013. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Hives, our producer, is in Megalia. And Willow, our announcer in training, greeter in training, is near Riverside. And welcome to our call. As you guys know, we do a call every 3 times a week. And this has been going on for quite some time. And we have what we say is a group energy here. And when you come in early, what happens to that group energy is that everyone is kind of expressing their human side, their fun side, greeting each other. And as many of you who are wanderers are interdimensional beings from other dimensions that have come into bodies, it's not easy to find comrades in this realm. And most people don't understand. And so the people that keep coming into these calls end up connecting with each other, but not in the normal way. The normal way is you sit down and you try to make a personality connection. And, hi, what do you do? What do you do? And when you're coming in a spiritual way, in truth, we have already made the connection before we said a word to each other. Those of you who are on the calls regularly know that on, particularly on our Sunday call, we actually say it. We say that we affiliate our energies together, create a group energy. And what does that mean? It's one thing in your mind, but when you say it, the energy shifts. And when the energy shifts, you feel something, and you're kind of learning. I'm learning. We're learning how it feels to participate in a group energy, because it's not like a personality connection, which is what most of us are used to. We're used to being with somebody and trying to reach them through our personality and vice versa. So in this sense, on these calls, and you have to come in for a while to get it. And you know what? Everybody gets it in their own way. I know there's people that are listening to this call that are very private, that would not enjoy talking to everybody at the beginning of the call. But they can feel the group energy, and they help hold the group energy. And I know you're there, and I honor you and thank you for being there. And it's a very rather pure role to hold the space and never be known. And maybe you don't need to be known, you know, and that's okay. And that other people really do need to be felt as humans. And they come in early on the call, and that's a really great experience because they release all that alienation and feeling separated, and they come into a group. But it works mostly when you've been listening to the calls for a while. It's not like somebody new will come in, click in at the beginning of the call and get it, because that person has not felt the group energy yet. So they're going to want, like, personality-type interaction. And if you've watched the cycles of the call and things that have been obstacles in the past, there's been, when people are in for the first time or early on, and they're demanding a personality interaction, and you try to give it to them, it usually goes south. Doesn't work out. It works out when people have been listening to the calls for a while, felt the energy, and felt the group energy. And then they come in, and it's not like they're coming into the place where they're already together, potentially. I'm not saying this works for everybody, but that's the idea. And they hit the ground running, and they start giggling and having fun. And so there's aspects of this whole thing that's amazing, that we can do this over a telephone with a bunch of people that haven't met each other in the physical. And yet we get to know each other, some of us, and have affiliations that might be significantly deeper than those people, you know, in the physical. And we have a lot of tools. Like, there's something called Team Shift, where people get to meet each other, make a phone call every day, and call in the light, invoke group energy, and get a reference point of energy of connection. So this is a, you know, a free will exploration. Most of what we do, we don't charge for it. If we do charge, we don't charge much. And occasionally we sell something like the pendants, which helps, or a workshop, which not only are great products, but they support all the things we do for free. And then some people are giving donations. And giving donations is a really pure thing to do. You know, I was talking about Terry today, and that I was over at Staples, and there's a guy and his wife that I know here in Sedona, and they do Ouija boards, and they're really cute. But I'm always concerned in the way they do it. They might mix polarities in their Ouija board stuff. So I haven't really invited them to be guesting on the line, but I like them a lot. They're actually sweet people, and they have a website up, which is trying to make it sound like they're a big television show. And they have this product, and if anyone's interested, send me an email. His name is Ray, and he was been raving to me every time we've met, because we meet every once a month on the street somewhere, about this product that saved his wife's bones, because she had this terrible osteoporosis. And he actually wrote up something and was selling it for $20 to tell people about the product. And now he sits in the supermarket once a week or twice a week and tests people's bones and gives them a reading about whether they need this product for osteoporosis or not. If anyone's interested, email me and I'll tell you what it is, if anyone is having bone problems, because it's available on the internet. And so I met Ray's other half, Linda, today. And it just so happens, last week, Gary was in Bosch's, the supermarket, and walked past Linda and got a bone test and stuff. And Linda was telling me today, now remember, Linda and Ray are psychics. And Linda was saying, I don't know what to make of Terry. I mean, she is so amazing. And she was raving about Terry. And then she said something like, you know what? It's like she's not there. It's like, in a certain sense, Terry only responds to loving energy, unless she goes into her stuff about her mother when she was brought up. Otherwise, you can't get to her unless there's love. She's just, you know, nothing happens. And so when Linda said Terry wasn't there, I said, you know, I've known Terry for 30 years, and I always thought there was nothing there until I found out what was really there. And, you know, that's kind of amazing, because it's like part of her is not in the physical, and so much of her is somewhere else. But no one, even when I knew her, even when we sold sunglasses together, who could have imagined what could come through Terry? And so I promised not to talk too long. It's 6:13, and we have some really good questions today. And, you know, over the past week, some of you have seen the emails. I've shared the emails that everyone sent me. You know, there was this question, when are you being egotistical? Or what is, Gary asked the question, what is ego last week? And I wanted to share something about that. Now, I'm not going to say that I may not ever cross the line and look at my... I mean, you know, we work really, really hard for years at making something happen. And suddenly, we're scratching the surface, and it's happening. And you know what? There is a sense of accomplishment in that. There really is, because for the longest time, it looked like no one cares. This is never going to happen. And if that sense of accomplishment looks like ego, I apologize. But, you know, it balances out. Another thing is, I remember when I was young and I listened to Muhammad Ali, and he would always say, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. And I used to think, what a big ego that guy has. And then years later, I realized he was putting out an affirmation for the black people of this country, because his I'm the greatest really was we're the greatest. And he did what he had to do to get attention. And I realized sometimes I have to do what needs to be done to get attention. And, for example, I made the comment a week or two ago, and I said, you know, when I show up, they show up. Now, there's no ego attached to that. That was an experience that I have observed over and over again, that when there's a group and I show up, as long as I'm not screwing up in a big way, the energy of these higher intelligences show up. And that's not an ego trip. It's just what happens. And if I say it, if I said it on a radio show, for example, I'm not saying it to say, look at me, aren't I great? I'm saying it because I hope someone will be curious to see, geez, I wonder if that really happens like that. Because if I don't make people curious, nobody shows up. And all of you are here because at some point you got curious. And that's what caused you to reach and discover the rest. And so curiosity is the biggest incentive to make people look at what we're doing. And if I was outrageous and said something outrageous, I know somebody's going to think that guy's got a big ego. But the truth of my motivation is to make someone curious. And and that there's a huge, a lot of huge amount of benefits, as I've observed it, for people that start paying attention to this work that are ready for it. There's a huge, I mean, and you guys email me, and you tell me all the time the amazing things that are occurring for you. And, you know, very rarely do I even send those emails out to the group. Occasionally, I'll do it. And because what I found is that when people, strangers, read emails like that, they think that this guy is just, how can I say it? They think I've got a bunch of followers, okay, so to speak. And I don't consider you followers. I consider us people that show up and we're learning together this incredible experience of learning how to meld our energies with the higher dimensions in a way we can feel it. And it's important that I take a center position in this, because what I've learned is that if I was giving up my power to them and they don't want me to, I have to hold the other side of the string so the string stays taut. Because when you start giving up your power to a channeled source, you open yourself up to the possibility and maybe even the probability that you'll get a negative source. So I have to observe, you have to observe, and I don't think we're getting negative sources through this work. And the only thing we ever get is a little bleep. I'm not even sure this is bleep through, but bleep through from Terry when she recommends her favorite Dr. Marshall to everybody. And actually, I think it's a very good thing, because we really can't give health advice without running the risk of getting busted. So he's legitimate to do that. And on that note, I am going to, let's see, 619. I'm going to take 2 to 3 minutes. And when we come together, I'm going to move into a space of sacredness and connection and hold a small planetary intention for healing, because that is so important now, that all of us that are listening, all of us around the world, we take a moment and we connect through our expanded energy fields. We move into the space of oneness, of touching each other. And the energy comes in. And in this space, we want to create group intentions of healing for ourselves. If you're feeling that energy, or even if you're not, let it move through your body. Ask it to move through your body. And we'll see our planet. We're doing this fast. We'll see our planet surrounded with this energy that we are creating in cooperation with our sources. I mean, we're just a few hundred people, and they're multi-millions. And we are inviting them in, and they come. And they work with us as a team. Yes, they're more powerful than we are, but many of you once were them and volunteered to come into this realm to do this work. That would make you a hero. So they know that. They know you're one of them. And, you know, it's not just about your life ending and you going back somewhere else. You, as you're learning to hold this energy, are really valuable in this realm. It is so hard to get this to occur in this way, and that I believe we're doing it. So surround the planet in this energy. We can have the Elohim's pink glow around the planet. We can have it moving into all those areas with earthquakes or earthquake potentials, and balancing the potentials for small quakes away from populations, small volcanoes, small tornadoes, small tsunamis, if at all. And let the earth ask to release this tension gradually. And we send love to the earth right now. And we feel the earth's energy coming back to us. We ask for interventions. We ask for no nuclear weapons going off. We ask for counter frequencies to things that are negative, like chemtrails or HARP. And even GMO, if you accidentally eat it, that your body can transmute it. And we fill ourselves up with this energy. When you feel that, you know, that's the energy that I believe was identified as the Holy Spirit in Christianity. And when you feel it, you know it's real. It's not something to believe in. Hold that space for a moment. Okay, and now we're going to go to the questions for the night. Let me make sure Terry hasn't accidentally muted herself. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I don't know how to mute this phone.
You would just do star six, and it would mute you.
Oh, star six so muted?
But don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay.
Because we can mute you, okay? Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We create you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 29th May, 2013, and we are delighted to be in the presence of each and every person who wishes us to be present with them. Do you have questions?
We do. You know, the question of the day, let me see, here comes from Gary. And that's Gary Brownlee. And he had a question about ego. And is it always negative? Is it sometimes positive? Could you explain ego and its relationship to us as something to avoid or to embrace? And Melina in Venice asked, how can you tell the difference between confidence and ego?
Thank you. That is a very good question and leads in many different directions. It is very important, and this depends upon your definition of ego. It is very important for a person to have self-esteem and to believe in themselves and to love themselves and to consider themselves as equal to another. If one does not do this, then they begin to get into trouble. If they don't have enough self-esteem, then they begin to take on jealousies because they do not feel as worthwhile as someone else, but yet feel that in their heart of hearts they really are equal to another. If one has an over-exaggerated sense of self-esteem or importance that puts them way above someone else in their own mind and leaving out other people in their actions and considerations, then this would be negative and would not work well for them as well as for the people around them. So it depends upon your definition of ego. Self-esteem and self-worth is important as one goes out into the world and interacts with others. And in one's own survival, it is important that one have confidence in one's own self and not put oneself down, because then that cuts their reach out to other people. When they feel that they have self-esteem and are valuable, then they can reach out to others with confidence because they feel that there is something to offer and something that they can also receive. It is grounding for someone. Very important grounding for someone, as long as they do not let it run out of control into an over-exaggerated sense of their own worth.
It seems to me a good reference point would be if you tend to be feeling superior to other people, if you tend to be condescending to other people, if you tend to be jealous of other people, that would be signs of a negative expression of ego. But if you're feeling confident in yourself, if you're expressing the truth of who you are in an authentic way, then that is a good use of ego in the positive sense. Do I have that right, do you think?
That is correct. And it will get you along really well with your fellow man, because when they feel that you are valuing them, then they will want to give and take with you. If someone is overbearing, then it will destroy relationships. The others will feel not valued. Condescending and over-exaggeration of self-importance around another tend to put the people around them off, and it is not good for a healthy relationship.
Thank you. Next question here. This is from Jet Shoot. I think she's somewhere over in Scandinavia. And she has a question about her sister, with whom she's had a very difficult relationship in her youth until a couple of years ago. And she wonders if her sister, this is the way she describes this, could be part of her soul, not a twin soul, but that we are really one soul divided into two fragments in order to learn more effectively. Is this in general possible? And if it is this the case with the two of us? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. We see that there is a very common heritage here with a genetic background that is very similar, which gives you a very distinct feeling of being, in a sense, the same. Give us a moment. There is a learning here that has been very good, a learning in how to stand up for your own self, for each of you, and to be your own person, and to still co-create. Give us a moment. We are mindful of the question you have asked, and we see that each of you are doing your own creation of your own life. The creation of your own life is bringing in impulses and sensory information from a slightly different point of view from each of you, and you are building your own track. So the question is, at one point, were you sharing track? And we leave this as something for you to ponder and to investigate. As there are shades of meaning at all different realms involved, we all are, and we include us in this, are the same being. And we all share the same abilities to build energies and to move into a life as we choose. So, at some very deep sense, we are all one. Then there is the question if later on, after the moving into a separate life, if you again shared a life very closely. And we leave this for you to ponder and receive your own resonances and your own look at this. We see at this time there is a common bond that is very strong. However, you are building independent relationships also. Thank you.
Thank you. a question here from Matt Savino, I think in New Fairfield, Connecticut. And Matt, let me say that on your question about how the universe was created, the holographic universe theory, we have about 5 or 6 audios in our archive section on how the Elohim created the universe. And it is really fascinating. And there's a lot of information in there that I don't think has ever, ever been brought out into the public like this, and maybe not even in the private. So it's a big question. And there's a little search bar in it's called spiritchannel.net. Just put in how the Elohim created the universe, and something will come up. And listen to those. But here is the question here. My question goes like this. A professor by the name of James Gates, who is a leading scientist on supersymmetry theory, has found self-correcting code in the fabric of the equations that we use to understand the universe. He's been quoted as saying, "In all my professional career, never would have I imagined that I would have stumbled upon a discovery that would give the impression that we live in a reality that takes leads from the movie The Matrix." And the reason why, now this is Matt talking, the reason why I'm conflicted is I keep wondering how the Elohim co-created this realm in reconciliation with the holographic universe theory. Were they computer engineers? Did they create the actual universe while we live in a simulated version of that reality? Is an advanced race keeping us in simulated incubation while we evolve to the point of understanding our soul-level immortality to be able to meet them at a level where we can co-create with them? Are we in a video game? And please ask, I've been tearing my hair out on this one. Matt, thank you.
Thank you. What a delightful question and line of reasoning. We see that all is creation and is created in the now together and is the resultant of all of the impulses, all of the spinningnesses, all of the creation matrices, they are entered. We see that there are focusing mechanisms through the entryway of spinningnesses. These, when there is a spinningness, it begins to focus the consciousness, begins to focus the intelligence into one uniform idea, one uniform look, one uniform ability to, from that center, to create a hologram of its own in interactions with other housings that house intelligences that is distilled from the intelligent creator, the being of all that is, the being that is ever present. And this is the overriding under lying fabric before it was ever fabric of all is the being upon which creation writes all that is. Give us a moment. the underlying principles are set in motion by the nature of the being of all that is, which is a precursor, really, to all that is. And this, one of the main tenets of this is love, and a love of the creation that is woven from the fabric of created spinningnesses and motions and vibrations within the all that is. We hope this has given you some clue.
I would highly recommend going and doing that review on how the Elohim created the universe, because they talk about how they worked as much as I understood it, they worked as a group projecting frequencies that would create nodes. Remember, there was no space, there was no time. So it had to start from nothing to become something. And yes, they did say there were mathematicians in that. They said they were using lots of mathematical formulations to put things together so they would flow. And, as life got developed, came down to the creation of DNA. And DNA was a microcosm of the universe, like a mirror that the whole universe, the whole macrocosm, would reflect into in each of us. And that's why astrology works, because DNA holds the imprint of all the astrological cycles. But let me go on to the next question here. And it is, from Don Herbin. He asks about deep hypnosis as a useful tool for spiritual development. And I would like to add the questions. We know that people use hypnosis to regress and to learn about past lives. Is it possible and probable that when a person opens up under hypnosis, they could also get an attachment, since their conscious control is not working when they're under hypnosis? Thank you.
Thank you. There are two different questions here. Hypnosis can be used in its purest form to help a person to see what is there concerning their past track. However, it is better if they can do it under conscious control and can work with the little flashes of memory that come in sometimes to build a connection with other flashes of memory to put together their past. However, under hypnosis, an individual can begin to bring through recollections of stuff from the deep unconscious that in their own sense is still there, is always there still, that is brought to the surface by the hypnosis. And then with a skillful hypnotherapist can help the person open up. However, one does, in regard to Wynn's question, need to be to choose this hypnotist wisely, in that a hypnotist can, if they do not have proper ethics, or if they have distortions that are unhealthy, can open a person up to suggestions which are not healthy for the individual, and indeed that is shown by some stage hypnotists who open up a person to do some act at a triggering signal, and that would not be advantageous to the person, and the person would not remember. So it is better if one can find someone to work with that can bring them into the memory of their past without using hypnosis, and so that they are in their full faculties and are remembering within their bringing unconscious to the conscious with their own awareness present.
Thank you. You know, one more question on this topic is, oftentimes we have heard that a person cannot do something when they're hypnotized that would be against their own integrity or in violation of their own ethics. And then there's another point of view that a person could be hypnotized and be turned into a assassin. What's the correct answer to this?
Well, we would say that this depends entirely upon the person, as a person does have a higher self and a lower self. And if the higher self has much awareness and integrity, they can keep the person from doing some unethical act. However, the people do have lower selves also, and the lower selves may not have the judgment of the higher self. And if the lower self is very strong, minded, it can be induced to do things that the higher self might not wish, but yet not remember when the lower self under hypnosis was in control.
Thank you. I think we have time for one more question tonight. I see Anna Vidari in Burbank asked a question, but Anna, resubmit that for next week. By the way, we have a group of people in North Hollywood, Burbank area, a few people that maybe it would be good to get together with, Vaughn and Aaron. They're really nice people, and just mentioning that, it's good to put people together in areas. And the question here is from Carolyn Castro in Anchorage, Alaska. And actually, we had asked this question before, and I'm just going to answer it as I remember it. And one of the things is about cremation. Is that a good way to go? And the answer previously was yes, because the soul will tend to hang out around the body even after it's dead, and it doesn't know that it's dead. And with cremation, it tends to release the soul into the higher realms. And the other question was about donating organs. And will donating your organs give you an attachment to the earth plane and make it more difficult for one to move on to a higher realm? And for a person that's receiving organs, what's the impact on their system to have the DNA of a transplanted organ in their body? And thank you.
Thank you. Again, this depends upon the recipient, and it depends upon the donor. If the donor is very attached to his life, he may follow the donated organ, the heart, the lungs. He may follow it over to the other person, and the other person who is a recipient of the organ may find themselves with suddenly having the likes of the person who was the donor, suddenly liking beer or suddenly liking a certain kind of music that they didn't like before. And so it could be a difficult situation for the donor or for the receiver or for both. If the donor is very centered and has the ability to move on, then it could work out very well. Or if the recipient receives the ambience of the donor as well, then they may need to do some work to release the person who is the donor so that the donor does not become an attachment to the recipient.
Thank you. So I think we'll bring the questions to an end tonight. And do we have any final comments?
It is a treasure to be with you and to make this connection. It is like a circuitry connection that makes a completion between the higher realms in the third dimension. We leave, but we do not meet.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us. Thank all of you who are here and helping to support the energy of this. And I wish you the greatest of blessings in the next, till the next time we meet. And let me see here. I'll open up the microphones. And hang on. We're almost done. Did it? Here we go. 10-9-8.
Unmuted.
Our mics are open. And for some reason, that was a really smooth call. Did you notice how packed the energy was in that in an hour, how fast that went? I mean, not all calls go exactly like that, but that one did. Good example.
Very strong.
Yeah. Packing a lot of energy.
Sounded good.
And Terry's new phone sounded good.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you. Good.
Hi, Wynn.
Yeah. Hi, Michael.
Wynn, this is... Hi. I was going to ask you to give me a call tomorrow, sometime in the evening.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, you know, it's like $200 an hour.
Well, which way?
You have to bring your own ding.
I have to bring my own ding.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you, guys, for stopping the recording. I think if we're still on BBS, we say thank you, all of you who are listening on BBS. And we love you, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks, Brother Wynn.
Thanks, Wynn and Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks,
Wynn. Thank you.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, everyone.